Tired of complex and high credit card processing fees? It's time to simplify. Whether you own a big business or a small startup, Empower Payments can save you money. Streamline your payment process while saving money today with Empower Payments. Learn more at empowerpayments.com. That's empowerpayments.com.
This is the Sporting KC Show on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
And there's the final whistle. Sporting Kansas City have won the 2017 Lamar Hunt U.S. Open Cup.
Brought to you by Missouri Farm Bureau Insurance. We've got Missouri covered.
Welcome to another edition of the Sporting Kansas City Show, right here on your home for SKC Soccer Sports Radio 810 WHB. Nate Bucati with you. Charlie Carlin is running the show today, and we have a great show lined up for you this evening. Of course, we will be recapping the thrilling come-from-behind draw that Sporting Kansas City pulled out in Commerce City, Colorado on Saturday, 2-2 the final score against the Rapids. First result for Sporting Kansas City in Colorado out of their last five tries. They gave up two goals in the first 7 minutes, and then in the second half pulled both goals back, including a stoppage time equalizer by Diego Rubio. And we'll be joined by Diego Rubio coming up in the next segment of the show here tonight, as what a story it is for Diego, who started the season for Sporting KC in the number 9 spot, had a tough game against NYCFC, as did, many of the players. The next game found himself starting for the reserve squad, the Swope Park Rangers. Didn't complain about it, went to Swope Park Rangers, went to a road game against Reno 1868 and scored a goal in a thrilling 4-3 game there, and then was on the bench this weekend against the Rapids, came off the bench, and just a couple of minutes in scores the goal that gets Sporting Kansas City a big road point on the season. So we're going to talk with Diego about all of those things, and we're going to be joined, as always, by the one and only El Jefe, Carter Augustine, who's not here in studio with me right now because he is in Dallas, Texas, where he is doing broadcasts of the GA Cup. That's the Generation Adidas Cup down in Frisco, Texas, one of the top youth soccer tournaments in the entire world. If you listened to the show last week, you heard Carter talking about that a little bit in previewing the fact that he was going to be down there this past weekend. He did the play-by-play on Friday of last week of the Sporting KC U17s against the Real Madrid U17s. And he's back down there to call more games after a quick stop in Colorado to do the broadcast with us there. So Carter's going to join us in the segment after Diego Rubio does, and we're going to talk about, maybe get his thoughts on the performance in Denver, Colorado. We'll get his thoughts on what he has seen so far at the GA Cup. And he is going to be talking to us live from, I believe it's Jerry's World, where the Mexican national team is in action tonight. He is going to, he might as well take in an international friendly tonight because you're there. Might as well check it out, as Mexico will be taking on Croatia at 9 o'clock tonight. But he'll probably already be in the stadium for that. So we'll check in with Carter, maybe get a scene setter from that game, and like I said, get the reports from the GA Cup and his thoughts on the performance by Sporting Kansas City on Saturday in Colorado. We've got a lot to talk about here in a moment. I'll give you my thoughts on that performance by SKC and some of the numbers that go along with it. Just how historic was it for Sporting Kansas City to come from behind by two goals and get a result on the road? It's not something that's happened very often in franchise history. And talk about a performance by a man who just keeps stacking tremendous performances one on top of the other through the first four games of his MLS career. And I'm talking about Felipe Gutierrez, who was tremendous again on Saturday. So I will talk about that as well as some of the statistics that have come out now. Of course, Felipe Gutierrez scoring the goal in the game to cut the deficit in half on Saturday, giving him 4 goals in 4 games to start his MLS career. That puts him in some really rare company when it comes to MLS players all time. Sam Kovson from Sporting KC doing the research on this. Felipe Gutierrez became just the 10th player in all of MLS history and only the 2nd midfielder to score 4 goals in his first 4 regular season appearances. And when you look at the names that are on this list with him, Carlos Ruiz, Joseph Martinez, who would have won the Golden Boot last year if not for a couple of injuries through the course of the season, Charlie Davies, Didier Drogba, Juan Pablo Angel. These are some of the names that we are talking about for Felipe Gutierrez right now. And what's more, it's not just the goals. I mean, this guy is not just scoring goals for Sporting KC. He is flying all over the field on a week-in, week-out basis. He's covering every blade of grass when it comes to the performances he's putting out on the field. He's making passes. He's creating opportunities for teammates. And he's getting himself in goal-scoring positions as well as getting stuck in on tackles. I mean, it's really been a tremendous showing by Felipe Gutierrez so far in his MLS career. I almost struggle to put into words what he's meant to this team. I mean, we thought for sure that he was going to be a terrific addition to this Sporting Kansas City side, but I don't know that any of us saw the type of production that we've gotten from Felipe Gutierrez to this point. Here was a stat that was put out by Jason Foster at @HogaBonita_USA about the performance by Felipe Gutierrez. And I want you to consider this. If you look at the map in the tweet, it does even more to show you just how good he was in this game. But from Jason Foster, Felipe Gutierrez was a man of the match in this game. 1 goal, 6 shots, 3 shots on goal, 2 key passes, plus a pass leading to the 2nd goal, 66 touches. He was 32 of 42 in passing, that's 76%. He had 5 crosses. He was 3 out of 4 on long balls that he played, 4 out of 4 on times that he dribbled his opponent and beat his opponent, 7 out of 10 in duels won, had an interception and a tackle. He's been Sporting Kansas City's best player in all 4 games, according to Jason Foster. And I don't think any of us who have watched these games would disagree. When you hear those numbers, it just goes to show you that this man is doing everything for Sporting KC. He's getting stuck into tackles. He's making tremendous passes. He's getting interceptions. He's winning duels. And he's doing something that Sporting really struggled with the last couple of years. He's finishing goal-scoring opportunities. When the ball falls to him, he puts it in the side netting. He makes no mistake. He gives the goalkeeper zero chance to make a save. And in this game against the Colorado Rapids, for my money, it was a game that Sporting Kansas City should have won. First of all, they give up a couple more silly goals in the terms of Peter Vermes. But even after that, I think this Sporting Kansas City side will feel like they could or should have easily come away with more than, quote-unquote, just 2 goals in this game. Now, I put a lot of that credit down to the tremendous goalkeeping of American legend Tim Howard, who made several key saves in the game. He finished the day with 7 saves, including an incredible kick save on a drive into the penalty area by Kyrie Shelton, which would have given him his first goal of his Sporting Kansas City career. So I'm going to give a lot of credit to Tim Howard there, but Sporting KC created good chances in this game. They were denied by some really good saves by a really good goalkeeper, but when the ball fell to Felipe Gutierrez, he didn't even give that goalkeeper a chance. Put it in the side netting, as did Diego Rubio. And Sporting Kansas City show for the second time on the road this season that when they are down on the road, they are not out. And that is a huge difference from what we saw a year ago for Sporting KC, a team that scored two goals in a road game just twice all year at Los Angeles and at Orlando City. And it took, to be perfectly honest, a couple of just disasters in goal by the goalkeeper in Los Angeles for that second one to take place. Already this year, Sporting KC have scored two goals in their first two road games. Last year, if Sporting conceded first on the road, it was almost always game over. This year, that's proven not to be the case. And I think that is great news for Sporting KC going forward this year. And another thing, they did it without Daniel Shalloway, who I think has been one of the most valuable offensive weapons for Sporting KC with three assists on the year already. He was with the Hungarian U21 national team, and he didn't play. And Sporting still were able to create these types of chances and score a couple of big goals on the road against that Colorado team. Again, I feel like Sporting KC could walk away from this game saying, you know what, we deserve more than just a point out of this. But at the end of the day, if you can say that and come away with a point on the road, that is a major positive for Sporting KC as they get ready to return home and play a big match against DC United on Saturday night at 7:30 at Children's Mercy Park. It's Ike Opara bobblehead night. First 10,000 fans in the gates will get the Ike Opara bicycle bobblehead. Speaking of that game against LA Galaxy last year, of course, that incredible bicycle finish by Ike Opara last year. Well, this bobblehead commemorates that. And the first 10,000 fans will get the bobblehead on Saturday. Tickets at sportingkc.com and 888-4KC-GOAL. Of course, Sporting KC will not be happy about the two goals they conceded in the early going of that Colorado game. One of the goals, I believe, first of all, Sporting KC would tell you that, and Peter Vermees would tell you that both goals should have been prevented. But on the first one, I will at least give some credit where credit is due to Edgar Castillo, who I thought put in a beautiful cross on the half volley before I expected him to. He brought it down with his chest, it bounced up, and then on the half volley, he just whipped a cross right in, and it was right on the money for Dominique Badji, and he put it in. Could Sporting Kansas City have defended it better? Surely they could have. But it was also, I thought, fantastic work from Colorado in that regard. Second goal, that's just a breakdown. That was not a case of Colorado breaking Sporting Kansas City down. It was a long ball over the top. There seemed to be a bit of a miscommunication by the Sporting KC backline. Mason got through on goal. Matt Beisler tried to recover, but calmness by Mason, and he was able to turn it into a goal. I know I've said this already, the first four games of this season, but I continue to hold faith that a group of players that we've seen for a long time here in Kansas City who have posted really good defensive records in their careers will get this thing sorted out. For me, it would be a much bigger concern if this team were creating the type of goal-scoring chances that they had last year and not converting, because then we'd be sitting here saying, same problem, different team. To me, that problem appears to have been addressed. This team appears to be much better at that. So I will believe that they can and will fix whatever defensive issues they've had in the first four games of this season because of the pedigree of the players that are involved on that end of the field. We'll see how they respond on Saturday against the DC United team that has started with three of their first four games on the road. They are a team that, to me, does not have a ton of scoring punch. So this is an opportunity for Sporting Kansas City to try to get themselves back on the right side of things defensively and see if they can keep things rolling offensively. Another thing we'll touch on today, it's going into the 30th minute right now between the United States and Paraguay in an international friendly. Look, unfortunately, these don't mean a whole lot to the United States right now, as we know they're not going to the World Cup in June. But there is a whole host of young players on the field in North Carolina right now as they are playing Paraguay. You're talking, I think, 9 of the 11 starters under the age of 25 years old. It's time to start putting together the guys that will be making the next run for a World Cup in the qualifying in the years to come. So I'll give you maybe some updates on what's happening with that team as well. It's been an international day today with a lot of friendlies all over the world taking place. And some of the score lines may be more notable than others, but the one that I think is drawing the most attention right now, Spain beating Argentina by a score of 6-1 today. Two of the real powerhouses in the world, but Spain all over Argentina, 6-1. And Italy and England playing to a 1-1 draw. I will point out Mexico taking on Croatia. That should be a really good game, but Croatia sending their three star midfielders, and they have some serious stars in the midfield, sending them home. So they won't be playing in that game, which is a bit of a disappointment. But we'll get Carter Augustine's thoughts on that one here in a little bit. Coming up next, we're going to talk with the man who scored the match equalizer, Diego Rubio, a big goal for Sporting KC. He joins us next as the Sporting Kansas City Show is underway on your home for Sporting KC Soccer, Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Great ball through from Gutierrez to Cherso. And now into Shelton it goes. In and to Felipe, to Diego Rubio! And he's leveled the match! A late sub by Rubio! And he combines with Shelton! And Sporting Kansas City have drawn level in stoppage time!
What a goal it was for Diego Rubio! And what a result for Sporting Kansas City! Thrilling to the last minute against the Colorado Rapids 2-2, as the man who authored that goal joins us on the show now, Diego Rubio. Good evening, Diego. How are you?
Hi, Nate. How are you? First of all, sorry for my voice, because I have been a little bit, sick or a cold the last few days. I'm good. Thank you.
You've had a little bit of a cold, huh? What are you doing? What are you doing to try to get over the cold? Do you drink some hot tea? Do you have some soup? What do you do?
Honey. Lemon. You know, some natural things.
Okay.
Especially from Chile. No.
What do you do in Chile? What is the big remedy for being sick in Chile?
Sometimes they say an entire garlic. If you just swallow.
I'm sorry, an entire what?
Garlic, you say?
Gallic.
Garlic?
I'm not sure I understand. I don't know.
G-A-R-L. Sorry. G-A-R-L.
Garlic.
Yeah.
Garlic. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. That makes you, it gives you bad breath, though. You have to worry about that a little bit, you know?
No, it's okay. I'm married already, so.
You don't have to worry about it. There you go. Hey, despite feeling a little sick, you have to be feeling great about the goal that you scored at the end of this game against Colorado. Tell me about how that felt. And tell me about take me through that moment. What you remember about the goal?
Yeah, it was great. It was a tough game. You can see it was windy. Altitude. We were losing 2-0. So the only thing we can think when we go on for the last 5-7 minutes was my case. It's just to try to help the team, to have one chance and to try to score or to try to do something important for the team. So I don't really like. I think I remember the time that I start to scream like Shelton, like give me the ball, and he just gave me was so fast. Was so good. We tried to celebrate, but after Susi go fast to pick up the ball and say we can win. We can still win this game. So go fast to the middle, to start again. It was great.
Yeah, it was a beautiful goal. And you guys have been scoring pretty goals like this year. I mean, it seems like a lot of the goals that have been scored by this team have happened by great combination play like this one. Tell me how that has come about. Why are you guys able to score these types of goals this year?
I think it's all about, of course, communication, movement, and
right, Charlie, I'm gonna put Diego on hold here because it looks like his cell phone cut out for a second. Why don't you try to pick him up, Charlie? See if you can call him back if he's not on, and we'll continue the interview as we're visiting with Diego Rubio, who scored the big equalizer. Okay, let's try this again. All right, Diego, we lost you for a second there. Are you there now?
Yeah, okay. I'm here.
Okay, you were about to tell me why you guys have been able to score so many pretty goals this year.
Yeah, no, I told you that. I think it's important, the movement, you know, we had, but especially like the focus we make in training, we put in training, because we train days every week, you know, and after, of course, it's more difficult because you have the opponent, you have the other team. But I think if you are focused in what we can do, you know, that things happen, that type of goals or other combination happen in the game.
I just think that it cannot be easy to be in the situation that you were in. Peter Vermees told us that he said to you when he put you in the game, go score a goal. But there were only a couple of minutes left in the game. You've got to go try to make a mark in a very short period of time. Tell me about what you're thinking when you get put into a game with not very much time left like that.
Yeah, I think it's a little bit crazy. Like, you come in, sometimes you go into the game 5-10 minutes, you don't even touch the ball. Sometimes you go, you score two goals. So from what I remember, like, in this time, I just came into the game. I didn't think too much. I just say, let's go, score a goal, you know, whatever. So you want to, of course, you want to be important. It's 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 45 minutes. So, yeah, I try, you know, I try to be close to the box all the time. And that happened, you know, that was very good for me and especially for the team that we can get a point.
We're visiting with Diego Rubio for Sporting Kansas City. He scored the goal that leveled things and got Sporting Kansas City a point against the Colorado Rapids on Saturday. And, Diego, I wanted to ask you about the way this season has started, because you got the start in Game 1, and then the next thing you know, in Week 2, you were sent to play for Swope Park Rangers. I didn't hear any complaints from you. You just went to Swope Park Rangers. You scored a goal against Reno, and then you're back and you make a difference for Sporting Kansas City the very next week. That can't be easy, though. Tell me what your reaction was and how you handled this situation over the past couple of weeks.
Yeah, you know, of course it's not easy. I think every player want to play every time, every game, be with the first team, of course. But you know, I am a professional. I try to do my best all the time. I think I get a lot of support from my family, especially from my father. I told you that it's difficult, you know. But you need to give it up. You can't give up, you know. So you need to keep working harder. I try to do more stuff, you know, stay after the trainings, do other stuff to try to, you know, to be better and try to have a chance again and again and again. That's soccer that have been like my entire life like this in every team. For me, it wasn't easy. Never wasn't easy. So I'm going to keep working, and I think harder and harder. So I'm very happy for what happened last weekend. So I think, you know, hard work, how do you say hard work, like
pays off.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know what, Diego, I want you to know this. I hope if there are any children that are listening to this right now, that they're paying attention to what you just said. And it's something that I'll tell my son. If he struggles in something and finds himself disappointed or frustrated, that he should look to what you did. Because, look, you can, if something doesn't go your way, you can complain about it. You know, you can sit around and feel sorry for yourself about it, or you can go back to work. And
yeah.
And I just think that the attitude, because if you just sit around and feel sorry for yourself, you're not making it any better, right? You're not helping anybody but even yourself. But if you do what you did in this situation, you put yourself back in a position where you can go and have the success that you want, right? I mean, I think that's the way that we need children to look at things.
Yeah, it's true. So you have two choices, keep working harder or just give up. So I decide to keep working. I think, like experienced player in the team helps a lot. Is it true? Like Americans, especially the older guys, Susie, Bisler, Roger. So these guys like try to help you. Sorry. So I think them and I told you my father was a key in every moment of my soccer career.
What did your father tell you when you're going through this?
Oh, he was a soccer player.
Yep.
You know how these things going. So he told me I never like I always trust on me. Maybe I didn't play like in the best teams in the world, but I always trust on myself, and I always think that I was the best. So even if I wasn't, so I think every player, I think every person to think like that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And but not give up and not like say like it's enough, you know. I think just I told you before, keep working harder and harder every day. Even if you are playing, even if you are scoring goals, I think you need to work every day more, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You can see the best player in the world. They do that. So
yeah,
you see LeBron James.
That's right.
53 years old and he's better than before now.
Yeah, LeBron James, no doubt. We're visiting with Diego Rubio. Diego, one of your fellow countrymen has come to this team, and he's just, I think he's impressed us every single game so far, and that's, of course, Felipe Gutierrez. He had the other goal in this game, and I know you played against him some as a young person. You guys were at rival clubs, if I understand correct. How many times did you play against him or cross paths with him when you were growing up?
Yeah, I think so. I played just 6 months there in Chile, and we played, I think, twice.
Wow.
They were better teams than us in this time. I thought that they won against us in the playoff. But you know, he was a player who was champion the year before. I played, you know, I make my professional first game. So yeah, of course he was a very good player in that moment. And I remember after we were in the national team together for a game in Switzerland, and we were in the same room. Yeah. So after that we never like talked too much, but we know each other and we like each other. So, yeah, I'm very happy for him. I think he's a great person. He's very humble. And I think he deserves this moment.
What impresses you the most about him as a player?
Oof. You know, I didn't remember him that much. But when I start to see him, you know, he came from a long period without playing. But he's incredible. He's incredible technique. He ran a lot. He's always there, you know, outside the box or inside the box to try to score goals. He's great. I think I like him. Of course, you know, for me, is having a Chilean player here is different. You know, we talk about Chile. We talk about other things. But I think every player is very happy with him. Especially because the person he's helping the team a lot.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. He's really been a joy to watch so far, and it was a joy to watch your goal as well. Diego, I don't want to keep you any longer because I feel like you need to get back to your hot tea, your lemon, and your garlic.
Yes.
But I did see that Chile played to a nil-nil draw against Denmark today. Were you able to watch any of that?
No, I didn't watch. I watched the other one when we win.
Yeah.
When we won. Yeah, the other one.
You're in the same boat that we are, aren't you? It's kind of frustrating not getting to watch the World Cup this summer with our teams in it, you know?
True. We have an amazing team.
Yeah.
But, you know, that happened.
That's true. Well, hey, Diego, I'll let you get back to the garlic. Thank you so much for the time. And congratulations on the big goal.
Thank you. Thank you, Nate.
All right.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye. That is Diego Rubio. And I'm telling you, I don't mean to be over the top about it, but it's something that we can all learn a lesson sometimes. You know, you can find yourself in a situation where you're frustrated or disappointed, and maybe you even think like you've gotten the raw end of a deal. And you have two choices, like Diego Rubio said. You can pout about it, you can complain about it, or you can roll up your sleeves and go to work and work even harder than you were before. And Diego Rubio went to Swope Park Rangers, the reserve side, didn't complain, went and scored a goal, came back, got his opportunity again in a very limited amount of time, and he did something to help his team get a point. And who knows how important that point will be by the end of the season. We know last year that one point would have meant a home playoff game for Sporting Kansas City at the end of the year. So you can't take it for granted what he contributed to Sporting Kansas City's result on Saturday. We will take a break. When we come back, we're going to check in with Carter Augustine, who is down in Dallas, Texas, getting ready to watch Mexico versus the Croatians in an international friendly. But also, we'll talk to him about why he's actually there, which is the Generation Adidas Cup. That's all straight ahead. This is the Sporting Kansas City Show on your home for SKC Soccer, Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Now Espinoza looking for the run of Quaze at the back post. He nods it down. It's off the post. Now it's Gutierrez. Four goals on the season for Felipe Gutierrez. And Sporting KC are back in business.
The Sporting KC show continues on your home for SKC Soccer, Sports Radio 810 WHB. Nate Bucati with you. Joined on the phones now by the one and only El Jefe Carter Augustine, who is live in Dallas, Texas. Good evening, Carter. How are you?
Evening, Nate. Doing well. A little rainy, but otherwise good. How are you?
Good. Where exactly are you at this moment?
At this very moment, I'm navigating the parking cluster mess that is Jerry World, as the MLS guys have hooked me up with the chance to go to Mexico versus Croatia tonight.
Go ahead.
Yeah, we're struggling in this parking maze, but eventually we'll get in the stadium.
And the game doesn't kick for another hour and 20 minutes, correct?
Yeah, we got plenty of time here.
Maybe enjoy some of the festivities and the local flair and all that. And that should be a pretty fun game. I mean, Mexico and Croatia, obviously two World Cup-bound teams. I did see that Croatia ended up sending home their at least a couple of their terrific midfielders, which is a bit of a bummer not to get to see them. But overall, it still should be a fun match to watch.
Yeah, I agree. I think it'll be a really good match. And yeah, I'm a little disappointed too. I wanted to see Luka Modric and Mario Mandzukic, but they went home. I know Juan Carlos Osorio actually said something about how next time the contract needs to be tighter so that they are unable to release players, which is kind of interesting to hear a coach calling out the contract deals of a friendly. But nonetheless, there still should be plenty of talent on display, and Mexico has a pretty strong team here for sure. I'm pretty excited, and honestly wouldn't have been able to do this if not for all the Generation Adidas Cup games getting pushed ahead due to the weather, so it's kind of a nice surprise.
Okay, so that is why you're there, by the way, the Generation Adidas Cup. Now, you got to go down there and do the Sporting KC U17 game against Real Madrid. Tell us a little bit more about when you went back after our trip to Colorado and what's going on now. You mentioned the games, the schedule getting altered a little bit.
Yeah, so there's a huge thunderstorm in Dallas right now, and they kind of anticipated it and moved all the games that were supposed to be on Tuesday or today to yesterday. And unfortunately, that's when I was flying in. So I only got to do one of the games last night. But Sporting KC played Real Madrid last Friday, and I got a chance to call that one, which was a really good game. I think Bobby Rorschach, who called alongside me, told me it's been his favorite game that he's called so far. It's been a pretty good tournament, and looking forward to calling the semifinals on Thursday.
So the semifinals are on Thursday, and do you know? Do we? I forgive me for not knowing. Do we know who's going to be participating in those games yet?
We do. So yesterday wound up being the last match day, and as a result, we do know who are in the semifinals in the Champions Division, which is the top division, which is what Sporting qualified for, having finished top of the Western qualifying for the GA Cup this year. It'll be, if I remember, Atletico Paranense, who won the group that Sporting was in over Real Madrid against Pachuca, and then Flamengo versus River Plate, which will be,
wow.
Obviously, that's just on paper, those two names stick out. That should be a fantastic tie.
Yeah, and you've seen a lot of young talent out there. Let's talk about that Sporting KC versus Real Madrid match a little bit. Any young players maybe from the SKC side of things that made an impression on you?
Yeah, I don't know. We were talking about it in Denver. I know you got to watch a little bit of the game too, didn't you?
I thought
they played well. They wound up losing 2-0, but they definitely created some chances. And actually, the coach for the team, Rumba Monthali, he just posted a nice passage of play from that game on his Twitter tonight. I just happened to see it before hopping on the call. So if any listeners want to check that out, it's beautiful. It's, I think, something that the first team would be proud of. Didn't wind up in a goal, but they played pretty well. Just Real Madrid wound up just being a little more clinical in front of goal. But for me, I think Cam Duke really showed some flashes of brilliance, box-to-box midfielder in the game, and made some nice dribbling moves through midfield. But a couple of guys I thought played well, and some of those guys you're going to see on the Seoul Park Rangers as well. I know the Rad brothers will be joining Seoul Park Rangers as well as Fessler. So it should be fun to see those guys with SPR this year.
Yeah, I'm looking at that video that you mentioned Rumba sending out. I just retweeted it for those that would like to see it. Carter, before we let you go, I know you've got places to be as you're trying to navigate this maze here. Give me some thoughts from your perspective on the performance by Sporting Kansas City as we were there and you were down on the field in that strong driving wind in Commerce City.
Yeah, I thought they'll be pretty disappointed with the opening to the game, other than the chance of Quaze in what, second minute. Just kind of a sloppy opening and two goals that I think they'll be disappointed in conceding, but you know, they responded really well. The second half pretty much bossed the entire second half. And how about the heart that they've shown and early on in the season to get points from a losing position? I don't think we saw that often last year.
Yeah, I was making the point earlier last year. I mean, just felt like last season you felt like if Sporting Kansas City conceded a goal on the road, let alone two, that there was not much prospect for getting back in the game. And already in two road games this year, they've proven that just simply is not the case. I mean, just because you score a goal against Sporting on your home field does not mean the match is over. And I think that bodes very well for the rest of the season.
Yeah, I agree. And they've got some guys that have some match-winning qualities. Obviously, Felipe Gutierrez has just been in unbelievable form to start his Sporting KC career, and he got another one. But how about the goal that he didn't have with the touch in the box over the head and then on the volley, smacked it right at Tim Howard? That was just class. So, yeah, I agree. I think pretty positive. They'll be, in the end, happy to get a point from a losing position, but maybe disappointed to not win in Colorado when just a couple mistakes really wound up costing them.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And to build on your point from Felipe Gutierrez, you know, it was funny when you mentioned that moment, you started to talk about a great moment by him. My mind immediately went to something that we saw in the first half. In the early moments of the game, the ball he played over the top and dropped it right on the foot of Johan Quaze. He's done that twice now. Unfortunately, Quaze hasn't been able to turn either of those into goals yet. But I feel like every game, we see something. We see some trick or some pass, some play made by Felipe Gutierrez that just kind of makes your jaw drop for a second. And that's in addition to the four goals that he scored so far this year.
Yeah, and like you said, it's the variety of stuff he's doing as well. Not only are the passes that you've talked about, his range of passing, which is it's wonderful, but he's getting stuck in. We talked to Ilya about that last week on the show. You know, he's up there in terms of tackles won and duels won, certainly on the team, if not the league. So he's just been all action in the midfield. And I think, I don't know about you, but it seems that the Sporting players are starting to notice it as well. He's demanding the ball, and they're looking for him at every opportunity.
Yeah, I mean, every single player we talk with, they obviously see what we see, and they are raving about having him on the field right now for Sporting Kansas City. But I think the whole team is excited about what he's brought to the table, and he's not the only one. I mean, there are other Sporting Kansas City players getting involved in the attack. I think we need to give some credit to Johan Kwasi and to Kyrie Shelton for the parts that they played in the two goals that we saw.
I know you've been raving about that backheel from Kyrie, and rightly so. That was wonderful. And then on the first goal as well, his ability, once Kwasi hit it off the post, to just shield the defender away from the ball and allow Felipe to run onto it. That was just heady play from Shelton there as well. So I think he's starting to gain traction up top in that number nine role. And it was a good cameo from Kwasi, but I think he's going to have a tough time keeping his place with Daniel Shalloway coming back into the mix.
Yeah, no doubt about it. He is back, Daniel Shalloway, from Hungarian national team duty. But look, we know it's a long season, and you're going to need multiple players and multiple options. And yeah, good to see guys like Kwasi and Gerso and Diego Rubio show that they can help contribute, whether it's in starting roles or off the bench, because that's just given Sporting so many more weapons. All right, well, Carter, enjoy the game tonight. L3 taking on Croatia, and we will see you. Of course, you'll be part of the broadcast with us on Saturday, and have a great time calling those semifinal games on Thursday down in Dallas.
Thanks, Nate. Good talking to you. Thanks for having me. And, yeah, looking forward to DC United coming back to Children's Mercy Park. They're a much, much revamped team with some pretty good names in there, some attacking players this year. So I'm looking forward to that game as well.
And I hope to see a better example of a bicycle kick from you on the broadcast this Saturday than what we saw. It was poor effort. I'm sorry, poor effort on Saturday. I'm just going to say.
Yeah, that was poor.
Yep. You just got to sell out for it next time, all right, buddy?
On the turf, for sure.
All right. See you, Carter.
Amen.
All right, that is Carter Augustine. He's navigating, apparently, the parking maze in Jerry's World, the big dome down in Arlington, Texas, as he gets ready to watch Mexico against Croatia. All right, we're going to wrap things up now with a little brief preview of Sporting Kansas City and DC United. And yes, it is Ike Opara bobblehead night. The bobbleheads are back at Children's Mercy Park. First 10,000 in the gates will get the Ike Opara commemorative bobblehead, which is immortalizing that amazing bicycle goal finish that he had at LA Galaxy last year. If you want to get tickets, 888-4KC-GOAL or sportingkc.com or SeatGeek or Tickets for Less. All those venues will work for you as you hopefully will be joining us on Saturday night at Children's Mercy Park. Now, as for DC United, look, they're off to a bit of a rough start so far this season. They've had to begin the season basically with three of four games away from home because they are opening a new stadium soon, and so the league is trying to basically give them time, just like when Sporting Kansas City ended up, opening Children's Mercy Park a few years ago. I think we can all remember that. So that's what DC United is going through to a certain extent. They did play one home game on a makeshift field in Washington, D.C., which was pretty ugly, to be honest with you. They, so far this year, have two draws and two losses. And their last game, a 3-1 loss against Columbus Crew SC. If you want to know about some of the players on this DC United team, I would say that the player to talk about the most in the attack in terms of newcomers is Yamil Assad. He was acquired in a trade by DC United from Atlanta from last year. Assad, a young, dynamic, attacking wing player who last year had 7 goals and 13 assists. So a really good season for Atlanta. And so far this year, he's already got 2 goals and an assist for DC United. So certainly a player to keep an eye on. Darren Maddox was brought in as a forward to try to bolster the attack. He's kind of given the opportunity to present himself as the striker for this team. He got subbed off at halftime for Patrick Mullins, who also is trying to vie for that starting number 9 role for DC United as well. But one of the big notes for DC United in their last game was the young teenage duo starting in the midfield. And they started in a defensive midfield role. Basically, DC United played a 4-2-3-1 in that last game. And Christopher Durkin and Ian Harkes got the start in those roles. Christopher Durkin's been a player that was brought into the academy system for DC United and signed as a homegrown at 16 years old. Made his first ever start at 18 years old in that game, and he played all 90 minutes against Columbus. Ian Harkes, a lot of people would know him because of his family name, John Harkes, his father. He played 78 minutes in that game. They are two young, promising players, have good physicality, good size, but when you talk about them going against the grown men that are Roger Espinoza and Felipe Gutierrez, if those two players make the start against Sporting Kansas City on Saturday, I personally look for that to be a major advantage for SKC and an area of the field that Sporting will look to make some hay, so to speak. Of course, Sporting Kansas City played to a 0-0 draw at DC United last year. They're going to be looking to get on the score sheet in this one, I think, early and to put away this DC United team. I think they are ripe for Sporting Kansas City to get a big home win, which would be their third on the season, as Sporting Kansas City right now stand. Look, it's extremely early to be looking at things like this, but they stand atop the Western Conference with 7 points out of 4 games. Right now, LAFC have only played 2 games, so they're leading in points per game, but Sporting are right there as well. That's going to do it for this edition of the Sporting KC Show. Our thanks to Diego Rubio, and our thanks to Carter Augustine for joining us, and thanks to Charlie for running the show. We'll see you Saturday night at Children's Mercy Park, 7:30, as they take on DC United, and we'll see you next week on the Sporting KC Show.